Welcome to the worst nightmare of all. Reality.
Explore the lesser-known stories of our unknown world. Join the pursuit of the paranormal with Ash and Greg.
Your friend that you say might have brought something back with him from Mordiff Holmes. What was his experience when you guys were there?
This part of the experience was something that I don't know why I didn't like trying to wait. I think maybe because I didn't believe it, because it was extremely bizarre. Mordiff Holmes is a large, like, sandstone building, and it must have been, like, built in the mid-1800s. When we were experiencing this experience, there was large-scale destruction and gutting of the building. I think I said to you last week, you know, I don't believe in God, but I can't disprove God, so I don't disbelieve in God. I don't believe in ghosts, so I don't disbelieve in ghosts, so I can't disprove ghosts. So my whole look on this has been one of skepticism. I've been a skeptic from, you know, day one, but I need you to understand my experience as one of a skeptic, because I don't believe this stuff happened, but it did. Anyway, about 50, 60, 70% of the place had been demolished. And there was a point on the far left-hand side of the original building that was destroyed. It was called the Blue Rooms. What we talked about last week was, I said that there was a disembodied voice coming out of the building, and there was a glint that was keeping me. There's just some psychic thing that was keeping me distracted. Julie said that she saw shadow figures running in opposite directions in tandem. She felt we were being surrounded and engulfed. She was really worried about that. Paul said that he thought there was a shadow. He thought a cat, a black cat, had walked out of one of the other cellar windows. But apparently that turned into a shadow and a tentacle. Like, Paul's never had paranormal experiences then or since, but he said, like, you know, he said he thought he saw the shadow of a tentacle come out of the, you know. So we were all distracted by these different things. Now, my other guy, and there are two people I'm not going to name, but I'm just, I've not spoken to them lately, so don't think, you know, I don't think it right to talk about people out of school. So let's just call him my guy. My guy, he said that over on the far left-hand side of the building, there was that section we called the Blue Room. It was basically on the far left-hand side of the building. His version of events was that he saw this skeletal figure. This skeletal figure, in his words, was like, it had long white hair, it had a bow tie, a white shirt, and I think he said it had, like a black waistcoat. And the way he described it came up from the ground in the Blue Room, and it put its left arm forward, its right arm back, and then it sunk back down into the ground, and then it disappeared. And that's all he saw. He said this, right, so let me say this again. This skeletal figure came up out of the top of the ground where this room used to be, and it's excavated. It's just basically a head popping out the ground. But he said that this skeletal figure popped up out the ground with the left arm forward and the right arm back, and then sunk under the ground. And we were all being confused by some kind of weird entity. We were all being distracted. Let's get out of there. Let's walk away. When we walked away, the atmosphere had changed. I mean, that was what was really interesting about the building, or about this experience, was that then we were in a bubble. There was a serious bubble going on there where the temperature was, and the atmosphere and everything was not the same as what was going on outside. Because when we walked away and then that lightning flash happened 50 metres above the house, we were clearly in an atmospheric chamber, and something very, very strange was going on there. You know, once we got outside that bubble, that's when the lightning flash appeared and blah, blah, blah. So I did say that last week. I don't want to repeat myself, but here's the interesting thing about what my guy had to say about this skeletal figure. A few days later, now, because this place in Burnage is in the middle of a golf course, and it's big, we used to cross it all the time. We actually had a pretty good relationship with the security staff who worked at the building, and he recollected this story about the skeletal figure popping up, going, ooh. And I started taking the piss out of him. I was just like, you with your skeletal figure going, ooh. I was like, what are you talking about? And I couldn't get it, even though I'd experienced this mad experience in my head, I just couldn't accept there was a skeletal figure. For me, like, tentacles were fine, disembodied voices were fine, explosions above the house were fine, but skeletal figures in bow ties, waistcoats and white shirts were not fine. It was just like, look, what are you talking about? The security guard pulled me back and said, hang about, where did you see that thing? When we described, we saw it at the Blue Room in that portion of the building. The security guard said, oh, right, yeah, that was the games room. The games room being where they would have probably paid billiards. So what he was describing was somebody rising up out of the ground, pulling their arm back and taking a shot at pool or billiards.
Wow.
Do you get me? So he'd seen some mad echo in the past. Now, I thought that was ridiculous. But now, in the past 6 months, I've kind of changed my head. And I'm like, whoa, well, he probably saw some weird echo of the past of whatever this entity wanted to show him. But anyway, whatever happened, you know, let's just recollect that. What happened after that night? The person that recollected that, the skeletal figure and blah, 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 he was the one that took on board the hitchhiker. And then basically, I don't know whether I mentioned this in the last episode, but it haunted his house. Did I mention that about how it would throw things across the landing? And okay, so basically, in my head, the voice said to me, if you turn your back on me, I will follow you. So I literally, like, walked 3 miles backwards. Right? That actually happened. I walked 3 miles. But what actually happened, right? It didn't follow me back. It followed him back. My guy, it followed him back. Now, he lived in a house on Broom Lane in Levensume, which is about 2.5 miles from Maldiff Homes. And he would recount after that, when you walked into his house, you opened the front door, straight away ahead of you was the stairs. When you went up the stairs, there was the bathroom at the top of the stairs. If you turned right at the top of the stairs, there was a bedroom there. And then the landing went back across the way, and then there was a bedroom at the back. He said, like, after that, I mean, they recounted so many poltergeist stories. I forget them. I only remember one. He was in the bedroom across the back of the landing after this incident of Maldiff Homes. And basically, he said that he would wake up in the middle of the night, and he would hear his whoosh, whoosh, and he would wake up, and above his head he would hear this noise, and then this noise would go straight down the landing and it would crash into bottles of conditioner, shampoo, shower gel, whatever, and it would destroy the bathroom. Wow. I will tell you this, after that time, that was this was about 1995, because I was about 20. We were all like students, right? So this was a student house. So we were all like, oh, getting hammered and all kind of different situations. I will tell you this, after that, every time, like, you went up those stairs and there was like maybe 12 stairs before you got to the bathroom, and it was a party house. There was loads of parties. So sometimes there might be 15 people all getting hammered in the house, yeah? Students getting hammered in the house. Everybody's, yeah. I'll tell you what, after that, every time I went to the toilet, I couldn't even go to the toilet in that house anymore. I couldn't even go for a piss in that house anymore. Every time I got to the 9th or 10th step and I stood to the top of that landing, I would fear like my life was in absolute danger. And I actually got to the point where I stopped going to that house. At first, I basically started, when we were having parties, I'd actually just piss in the garden or whatever. You know, whatever we brought back with us was just really, you know, intensely something else, you know.
Did you get the impression that you knew what was going to happen at the top of the stairs? Did you get a feeling of, I can feel the dread, but did you get a sense that something was maybe going to attack you, or something bad was going to happen? What was the kind of dread feeling like?
The same sense of dread I had in 2020 and 2021 when I was seeing UFOs all the time. Basically, yeah. There was something there that I did not understand and I did not comprehend. I don't know whether it's the same thing, because to be honest, with the UFO thing, I think it was just fear. But on the back of that, I don't know, the mold of home things. I mean, when you're talking about shadow figures and tentacles and skeletons and stuff like that, that's really weird, you know. And I don't believe in any of that. I believe in it now. In the past 6 months, I've decided to believe in it, because I've done a lot of research. But for years, I was just like, nah, that's a lot of rubbish. You're just making it up. You just make believe. The reason why I bring drugs and alcohol into it and 20-year-old partying is because that should certainly mitigate a fear, but it didn't. It's like, you know, why would a 20-year-old student be afraid of the last two stairs at the top of somebody's house? This was, and it didn't matter how stoned or drunk or whatever I was, I would be the same palpable fear at the top of those stairs.
So you mentioned that, say, the last 6 months you've sort of almost accepted, you believed what it was, and you're believing in it now. How does it make you feel based on the fact that now you believe it? Or do you look back and go, I wish I believed it back then so I could have understood it more? Or
Yeah, I'm not scared of it anymore. A lot of research and a lot of acceptance into this goes a long way.
Do you think that sort of with modern technology, and I'm thinking social media, that kind of thing, because back in 95, I was 18, I was going out, there was no digital cameras, there was just about mobile phones, but there was no sort of formal way of trying to get any kind of understanding of what was going on unless you read it in a book in a library or it was on TV. There was no internet. I know you won't know these times, Ash, because you're a little bit younger, but I think I must be a similar age as Nick. So in 95, I was 46. 18. 45, yeah. So
there we go. Hey, so look, Ash is doing great, though. Ash is doing great. Let's not knock the youth of today.
No, absolutely.
Doing some amazing things. Ash is doing some amazing things in this community. So
but I just wonder if social media and the advent of the internet and the fact that we can do our own research now, the click of a button, essentially, has helped the way that you've been able to accept and understand what's going on, certainly the last sort of maybe few years, but last six sort of months.
Yeah, I think acceptance is the first thing.
Yeah.
Acceptance is the first thing. And basically getting out there is the first thing. I'm talking about things that have happened to me, supernatural things that have happened to me all my life. I put them down to mental illness. And I think the 2014, 2015 incidents that are the most prevalent that we're going to talk about in a moment, that really actually destroyed me. But I think you're right in what you're saying. There is a conduit there in the community. But the thing is you have to know what you're dealing with. And for me, it's been a very long journey. If it hadn't started with the UFOs, I would have never gone back and retrospectively looked at anything. So it's really important that I saw the UFOs, because it was a nuts and bolts thing. I can understand nuts and bolts because I'm a very, you know, down-to-earth guy. I'm a very practical guy. So the fact that I'm telling you about skeletons bobbing up out of the ground and tentacles is absolutely ridiculous to me. You know, 6 months ago, I would not have had this conversation with you. Today, I'm having this conversation with you because podcasts like yourself, podcasts like, you know, Frank, UFO Thinker, these platforms are very important to people to make them realise there is a bigger picture, there is a bigger world, and no, you're not going mad. The world is not what you think. I swear to God, in the last 6 months, the way my head has gone, I believe in, like, I tell you what, and I believe in Bigfoot, I believe in cryptids, I believe in ghosts, I believe in life, I believe in everything, because I think there is a very simple commonality to all of it. And, you know, I think we can explore that going forward.
So 2014, moving on, what happens in 2014?
So 2014, I was in a bit of a weird place. I got out of a, like, I think it's important to note here that I'd, 2013, I was in a violent relationship. I was a victim of domestic abuse. I'd had a bit of a bad time. So things were down with me at this point. I was a bit down. I'd had goings on with my guy since, but we actually resurrected a band. So we started a band again in about 2013, 2014. Now, what happened was this. To your point, to this point about the paranormal, weird things really started happening at this point. I didn't really notice it straight away, but what happened was around that time, I had a Samsung Galaxy 3, and then I got a G5 straight away. But no matter what phone I got, they constantly had battery drain. I'd never heard anybody with a battery drain from a G3 or a G5 at the time. This is 2013, 2014. Smartphones, basically the battery was just constantly draining. Apps were glitching like mad. I'd also have my guitar, the electrics were just suddenly working, would suddenly stop working on my guitar. I had a bass with an active pickup, it wouldn't work. Lamps kept blowing, light bulbs would blow every week. It would just boom, boom, boom. And also there would just be weird electrical faults in the corridors. Just ridiculous electrical faults. Anytime I'd buy a piece of equipment, it wouldn't work. And this went on for about 12 months. Another weird thing was, I was never going to say this, but I've just decided that because I'm on this podcast, I'll say it. For about a 12-month period, I was attacked by flies. It was like if there was a fly in my room, it'd come and attack me. It wouldn't just like zoom past me and fly by me. It would attack me. It would hit me in the head. When I was in the rehearsal studio and we had flies in the rehearsal studio, they keep hitting me in the head. They could keep hitting me in the head. It was like I was being attacked by flies. Now, if you're on a down slope in your life, you're going to put this down to mental illness. Oh, of course, it's just like, you know, yeah, it's just me being, now I've looked into this stuff. Nah, maybe there's a little bit more to it than I thought of. So anyway, what happened was, so 2014, after that litany of weird things happening, like electrical disturbances, bulbs blowing up, bang, bang, and equipment constantly failing, constantly being attacked by flies in 2014, there started to be a series of weird experiences that started to happen to me around between 3 and 5 a.m. I'm just going to pull from my notes because this is something that I wrote in 2015 when I was seeking professional help from friends who were, you know, there are people that have introduced themselves to me in my room. People or animals introduce themselves to me in my room. And I am telling you right now, I have never been in any way dreaming. I've not been in a dream state. I've not been hallucinating. And I have not been delusional. I need to let you know right now that for these experiences, like, I've woken up and been very, very, not only uber sober, but extremely sober. And that's the reason why I'm highlighting these instances to you, because I'm not the type of idiot to have an hallucination or tell you some ridiculous story that is I'm not the type of person that's going to fabricate something, because look, I have a lot more problems with depression and anxiety. I'm more the type of person that's going to try to avoid attention. I don't want to draw attention to myself. The only reason why I'm on a podcast like this and talking about this stuff is because it helps me deal with the situation. It helps me understand it, and it helps me kind of elucidate the situation, and it really helps me come to terms with it and get a better perspective and hope that I can, you know, deal with it on a mental health basis. But anyway, a lot of these situations that I've had, there is a living charge in the air. It's like electricity. And I don't know how to explain this off the top of my head, but it's just like, it's just really weird. It's like, I tell you what, I just need to read the notes. Interestingly, I would wake suddenly to a living charge or electric in the air, and you are wide awake and very aware. It's like you're plugged into an unknown energy. tapping into nature or on the edge of two dimensions. Each bedroom experience seemed to be accompanied by this sensation. Now, in 2014, when I wrote that in 2015, I had never heard of interdimensional theory. If you'd have told me about interdimensional theory, I would have told you you were wrong and that it was ridiculous. It's only in the last 6 months when I have been looking into stuff when I've suddenly realised that what I wrote there, tapping into nature or on the edge of two dimensions, is the exact kind of sensation that I was experiencing, and now I kind of get it. Now, leaning into that, November 14, it starts up where I felt something grab my leg in the middle of the night. I mentioned after the black triangle, there were two dogs in the room. The electricity was the same thing back then. It was the electricity was in the room and the two dogs appeared. And it was like, I didn't want to look out of the bed. I didn't want to look up because I was too scared. It was like there's something so crazy about the electric in the air, the darkness, the feeling in the room. And the most strong sensation about this is when there are these things in your room, everything is upside down and we don't have a way to comprehend it. The only way you can describe it is electricity. But there is something different going on. And the thing is to me, like that line where it says, on the edge of two dimensions, that to me, now I've done research in the past 6 months, that makes the most perfect sense to me. But when I wrote that, literally when I wrote that in 2015, I wrote that 7 years ago, I had no idea about interdimensions. I didn't give a shit about interdimensions. I never knew anything about multi-dimensions or multi-dimensions. And I just, no, that's a load of rubbish. But the fact that I wrote that 7 years ago off the cuff makes perfect sense to me now about these experiences that I'm about to explain. So all the way through 2014, I had the electronic stuff was going wrong. But in November 2014, something grabbed my leg in the middle of the night. And I thought it was a human hand. Right, and it was the same feeling, like I said, with the dogs in the room in after the black triangle. But there was this thing sat on my bed. And the reason why I knew there was this thing sat on my bed was because there was an indentation in the bed. I could feel the weight of the mattress weighing down, but it was really heavy. There was something sat on the bed and it grabbed my leg. But I just pretended it wasn't there and I went to sleep the same way I did with the dogs. A few nights later, I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was like there was a cat on my bed. This time it was like it was a proper cat. It was nuzzling. It was like clawing and nuzzling, and it kept trying to get my attention. It was really cute, but why is that there? And also, in my gut feeling, and the thing is what you've got to understand about, what I've realised about these situations is gut feelings are really important. My gut feeling told me that this was something that was trying to pretend to be a cat, but did not know what a cat was. And so I just like lay there thinking that there was this thing, like this thing wanted to engage with me. It wanted to understand me. It wanted to initiate contact with me, but it didn't know what a cat was. So it tried to be a cat, but it didn't know what a cat was. So it was really awkward conversation between me and this thing trying to initiate contact. Anyway, so my mum died of cancer when I was 18. Me and my mum were really close. Not only were we really close, my mum was she had constant out-of-body experiences. She was what you would call gifted. She always had premonitions, dreams. She had out-of-body experiences. She was very, very gifted. But when she died, for me, the dream died, the love died, everything died when my mum died. You know, we were psychically connected. So I think the problem when my mum died of cancer when I was 18, it wasn't just like my mum died. Part of me died really badly. I'm being honest here. I'm being open here, to a point where I've never been that open before. But it destroyed me when my mum died, and part of me died so badly. And I think when you're psychically connected to somebody like that, you know, part of your soul dies. But anyway, in 2014, this is where me and Greg need to talk. In the middle of me being attacked all year by this like weird kind of electronic stuff going on, On November 18th, I came home. I found a butterfly in the house, which is pretty weird in the UK. Basically, I found a dying butterfly in the house the day before my mum's birthday. I'm pretty sure, like, butterflies are gone by September, October.
Yeah, they don't like the cold.
Yeah, we just don't get butterflies after September, October. So let's just scoot to December 25th, a second butterfly. I was sat in this room that I am sat in now in the top attic, and I heard a weird noise in the other room. It's just like from the other room, and I was like, what? Like, what's that? And I went into the other room, December 25th, Christmas Day. The same butterfly that I had seen dying the day before my mum's birthday was alive and well on December the 25th in the front bedroom. We don't get butterflies on December the 25th in the UK. Ice on the roads. I remember looking out the window and thinking, what? And I literally looked out of the window and it was frozen. There was ice on the ground. It wasn't snowing, but there was ice on the ground. Puddles have been frozen. This was absolutely ridiculous. And to me, given the things that were going on in my life at that time, you know, with the kind of weird paranormal experience of the cats in the bed and stuff, I was like, this is a sign, you know, this is something happening. So Greg, tell me about what makes you interested in this one?
Yeah, so there's lots of manifestations of the dead or the spirits that happen. Namely, feathers are a big thing. So if a feather sort of appears, normally like a little white feather. But what happened with my experience was my mum's best friend, she lived like two doors away from us. I grew up with her son. She became unwell. She passed away. It's my mum's friend. At the funeral, so obviously we were all there, we're in the church, and closed church. She's got a wicker basket cask, sort of like interwoven sort of wood strips. And down the middle of the church, as she's sort of laid to rest at the front by the altar of the church, down the centre of the church aisle was a butterfly. Single butterfly, no other butterflies around. And just a single one inside the church and just flew down the centre of the aisle. So when you said about the butterflies, that's not the first, so feathers are a big thing. Butterflies are also another thing that is a way of spirits showing you they're around or that there's a message or something like that. And for it to happen to you sort of late on in the year when typical UK weather is cold, that's not
the really... dates were massively significant though.
I mean, yeah,
the one that turned up was the day before my mum's birthday. And it was like, basically, I kind of knew the significance of that. I thought it was weird, but basically, I got like sugar water and I was like nursing it back to life. I just left it and then didn't think about it. And then 6 weeks later, it was like the same type of butterfly on December 25th. But here's the thing that I probably didn't mention earlier. December 25th, me and my mum loved Christmas. It was like, we would sit there planning Christmas for 3 months. Christmas Day was my mum's favourite day of the year. By far, me and my mum would spend 3 or 4 months planning Christmas Day. You know, the fact that a butterfly turns up on Christmas Day isn't just a bizarre coincidence because, A, it's frozen outside and you don't get butterflies, but the fact that my mum loves Christmas Day, that was just like, there was something really interesting about that. But I think it kind of backs up with the fact that there was something very, very weird going on with me at that time. And I think maybe she felt I needed some encouragement because clearly the events that we're going to discuss that continue over the next couple of months got pretty crazy and pretty nasty, to be honest.
Do you want to move on to those bits and let us know?
I mean, there's a couple of weird things about those situations. On their own, in isolation, you could say it's just coincidence, but with everything else that was going on, no, it really wasn't coincidence. To me now, in retrospect, I think that my mum was trying to come back to give me some kind of sign because the things that started happening after that were really, really bizarre. I mean, basically, in 2015, after the Christmas incident with the butterfly, the cat incidents would continue in volume. And basically, at first it was just like a cat on the bed and just, you know, whatever. And it was kind of comforting to me. But it started becoming more exaggerated where I remember waking up to a cat on the bed And I remember it running across the length of the bed to where I felt the mattress move. I could hear the springs move. The minute it jumped off the bed, and I remember hearing it hit the floor. And then when it jumped off the bed, I remember feeling the bed move and lift back up, and it didn't hit the floor. And then it ran across the carpet from over the left to the right and out the door. But there was also the sound of claws ripping up the carpet as it ran across the floor. So it's not like I'm hallucinating something in one dimension. I can feel the bed move. I hear it hit the floor, just scratching and going across the floor of an animal that doesn't exist. And this kept going on and on and on and on and on. And at first I thought it was something comforting, but here's my theory, and this is a weird kind of theory, and it could be completely wrong, it could be, I don't know. But I think because I'd been in a violent relationship and I was having a bit of downtime at work, I was feeling very kind of vulnerable and under the gun. And I'm just wondering if the hitchhiker phenomenon wanted to jump from one person to another, I mean, if it got fed up of being with one person for 20 years... it might want to jump to another person who's kind of fresh meat, who's kind of fresh, you know, fresh vulnerability, fresh depression. I don't know. It's just a weird gonzo theory that I have, because my guy, he attracted a lot of negativity. Let's just say it that way. He attracted a lot of negativity. And I think if something parasitic or something kind of a hitchhiker type of entity wanted to suck on a leech or vampire off a certain person, it might want to jump onto somebody like that because there was a certain cynicism about that person and a certain negativity about that type of person. But when we started hanging back out together, I was undergoing a different negativity whereby, you know, I'd been in a violent relationship where I'd been beaten up by an ex-girlfriend, basically, and I was feeling a bit rough. Whether it was to do with him or it wasn't to do with him, I suddenly had this parasite, because this parasite was hanging on to me. Here's an example, right? I said to you before that in the rehearsal studio, like, my equipment kept breaking down, lamps kept blowing up, everything kept blowing, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, what I would also do is I would take my hard drive from the rehearsal studio and I would bring it home. And in the rehearsal studio, we had like Rocket 7 speakers. And at home, I had Rocket 7 speakers. Now, these Rocket 7 speakers are basically 14 kilos a pair of self-powered amplification. Basically, it's amplified studio speakers. They're kind of small, but they've got a huge magic. And like I said, 7 kilo weight speakers, man. And one day I was sat there in the house. I don't know how to explain this. I was sat there mixing at about 11:30 at night. And the only way I can explain this is like this thing, this presence came down the cellar steps. And I was sat there like the self-powered speakers, like this one on the left, one on the right, like on the desk, and my laptop is in front of me on the desk. And this thing came walking down the steps, but it was invisible. It was an invisible thing. It was an invisible entity. I don't know what this thing was. Anyway, I got this impression it was in a mood. And it was just an invisible force walked down the stairs, but I knew it was there. And it was really frightening. And I just put down my laptop, thought, I don't want to be in this cellar anymore because this thing is scaring me. But the overriding feeling is this, it was sulking. It was sulking. It wasn't being, it was sulking. Anyway, so I walked up the steps anyway. Walked up the steps, left. And I came downstairs a couple of days later, and those 7 kilogram studio speakers, one of them was like 4 feet across the room, one of them was like 2 feet across the room. It was basically something invisible had just boom, had knocked them across the floor. And, you know, I didn't, of course, I mean, they were brand new to me. I'd only bought them a few, like, they cost about 120 quid each, 110 quid, 120 quid each. I'm not going to throw them on the floor. This thing had just, and one of them had a massive scratches up the side of it to the point where I was like, what's going on there? So, Anyway, around this time, I kept waking up with bruises, scratches, nosebleeds. And one of the really interesting one was I don't know how to describe this. It was like one of the bruises I had was on my upper arm, and it was like about 3 inch and a 2 inch bruise. Like something had grabbed me on the arm really hard. There's like a bruise there and a bruise there. I woke up with that, and I was waking up with all these scratches and bruises, and I didn't know where they were coming from. But one night, and I think this might be the where it all kind of comes to a head. I was dreaming. I remember waking up one night, and I was dreaming of this androgynous person who was talking to me in my head. This androgynous person is talking to me, but in the backdrop is supposed to be my hometown where I grew up, of Heaton Chapel. But it's not my hometown of Heaton Chapel. It's something that's fabricated. It's not my hometown of Heaton Chapel. And anyway, this person's talking to me, and I'm getting the same sensation of that, like, you know, the electricity that I was talking about with the electricity in the air with the dogs and the electricity in the air with the cats. Is this electricity in the air with this thing? And I'm like, this isn't real. And I'm starting to realise, like, this isn't real. This thing's talking to me, but it's not real. And then once I started to realise that this isn't real, and I was kind of encapsulated by it, because this androgynous person was very kind of, I don't know, they were very, you know, engaging. But I just suddenly realised, you're just distracting me. You're just distracting me. You're just trying to keep me distracted. And then when I realised that they were distracting me, I could feel this sensation in my testes. And it was like, you know, it was like the feeling of ejaculation, but without any kind of, you know, joy. Like, you know, like the feeling of ejaculation is supposed to be a positive, yay, you know. But it wasn't like that. It was like a constant stirring or a buzzing. It wasn't the joy or kind of pleasure of ejaculation. It was a stirring or a buzzing. It was like a very clinical, very mundane kind of thing. Then suddenly it was like basically waking up and realizing, like, this is not right. This person that's talking to me is distracting me. This is a distraction. This is not right. This illusion of Heaton Chapel, my hometown, it's an illusion. It's a distraction. Wake up. And when I woke up from it, it was like, all of a sudden, it was like I started realizing that I was in my bedroom and this was the real world. And it was like I was punched in reverse 3 times in the stomach. And I don't know how to explain it. It was like, it was just literally like being punched in reverse. It's not like being, somebody's hit you in the stomach. It's like the punch is being sucked out of you 3 times. And I was sick and nauseous. And I was like waking out of this dream. And after that had happened, I remember, like, my initial thought was, it won't be able to get me if I face the wall. So I turned and faced the wall. And then the next thing that I know, something had grabbed me really hard by the genitals. Basically, it grabbed me by all my genitals. And it yanked me 3 times. It was like 1, 2, 3, really. And 3 was really hard. 3 was, like, when I really felt it. And then when that happened, I was in absolute, utter shock. And then I realised, was this sound like, in my notes I've written it for like, it was a sound like a large Stanley knife cutting through felt that was tightly glued to a large wooden board. So it's like this really, really weird sound. But the thing is it went into 3 dimensions. It went up the wall, across the ceiling, across the other side of the room, and then down the other side of the wall. And it absolutely destroyed me. You know, I did not know what was going on with me. And for years, I was just absolutely just mortified. And after that, I couldn't leave the house for about 3 years. I mean, for now, you know, I'm kind of dealing with it all. Mm. I'm kind of happier with it all. And I'm kind of looking into it with a little bit more of, oh, yeah, whatever. But the 3 years after all of this stuff happened, I couldn't leave the house.
It's a terrifying something to go through that.
Mm. But I didn't know what it was. So, but here's the thing, right? So And I mean, people are like, well, you know, what is it? And I don't know, right? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, right? Here's the thing. Here's my best guess is interdimensional really, really covers the whole gamut. And I'll tell you why. Because interdimensional, basically, it's a really good get-out clause because it basically just says, well, whatever. Do you know what I mean? And for me, it makes me feel better, right? Because if you put interdimensional, then it makes ghosts real, it makes Bigfoot real, it makes aliens real, it makes it all real. Because here's the thing, right? If you put in a dimensional, well, yeah, it just kind of makes sense. And I know it's a get out clause, but it helps me deal with it. But I tell you what, right? When that happened to me, when that thing happened to me, like I said, I wasn't look, you know, I'm not coming on a podcast and go, hey, look at me, I'm brilliant. I was physically and sexually assaulted by an unknown assailant in my bedroom at 3 a.m. Do you think that's really funny? That's not something to be proud about. That's not something that you want to run around and be, you know, tell everybody about. But I'm going to tell you about it because I think it's important. In the past 6 months, my thoughts about this is like, I think these things are incapable of coming between two dimensions and operating in different dimensions at different times. I think they're capable of operating in their dimension and our dimension, but we don't know how to comprehend that. And it makes us feel like literally like a fish out of water. I mean, the only thing we can compare it to is if we are the fish in a lake and the angler catches the fish. And I think that's the only way I think that's the only thing we can look at it.
So you were talking about this sensation that ejaculation. Do you feel like it was an extraction, so that it was being extracted from you, right? So you mentioned that you didn't get a sensation of like a joy type thing. Do you feel like it was an extraction from you?
If it hadn't have been through looking at different other experiences in the last 6 months, I didn't know what had happened to me. And back in 2014, 2015, when these things were happening to me, I put it down to ghosts. But I don't believe in ghosts, so what do I put it down to? Now, if you ask me what... If I look at other people's experiences, and what would I say in retrospect, I would say that basically... There was a scientific experiment being conducted on me in my bedroom by something that was able to come into this dimension without physically revealing itself. It was able to conduct a scientific experiment on me without me seeing it or knowing what it was. And then it was able to just then go back into its dimension without any proof or anything else. And that is, I will swear down that is exactly what happened. Now, if 12 months ago I didn't believe it, 6 months ago now I'm starting to figure out, oh well, hang about, there are some different theories about interdimensional elements. So now I'm coming into contact with it. And now I'm okay with that. Look, if that's what happened, then fine. And I'll tell you what, I just wish next time, just show yourself, you know, if you want to extract my sperm, just ask me. Ask permission. Don't rape me. Don't rape me next time. But no. Oh, joking aside, no, I'm actually more of a... Look, I mean, I kind of get it. I kind of get where these things are coming from. We just don't comprehend what they are. We just don't have any... And because it's out of our control, we don't know what it is. But I think they exist. I think that's what it is, and that's what they are. And, you know, from my experience, I'm quite... That makes me feel better about myself than thinking that I'm insane. I'd rather think interdimensional beings are coming in and extracting my... Interdimensional scientists are extracting my sperm rather than me being off my...
So there's two questions, actually, or two bits I wanted to cover off. So you talked about mental health, and people will have had these experiences of some kind, shape or form, for the last 1,000 years, for example, potentially.
Yeah.
And even going back through the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages, when there was less understanding of things, all joking aside, mental health was blamed for a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I think as we understand more about how the universe works and such like, people who are claimed to be possessed, they classed it as like a mental health issue, and people were put away rather than understanding that there could be sort of paranormal forces at work. So it's interesting that you touched on that. But what I wanted to really get to is the fact that you've had some profound experiences that 18 months ago, and I know you mentioned about 6 months ago, you wouldn't have necessarily accepted. But even 18 months ago, before we started doing a podcast, if we'd have had this conversation, I wouldn't even known what to say to you. But as we've been speaking to a lot of people, and the fact that these podcasts are a way of people getting their experiences out without the judgment of mainstream media, there's no, like, we don't ask you for any kind of proof of this, because you could, we speak to people like you, and we get a sense of credibility from the fact that people are talking about these subjects, sometimes for the first time, sometimes for a very limited number of times. Why do you think these profound experiences have been happening to you throughout your life? What do you think, there is something out there that's been watching you, or what do you think it is?
I don't think I'm special. Let me tell you that. I think some people it's hereditary, but I think with some people it's once you've seen one thing and allowed yourself to open up to something, I think there's a possibility that maybe anybody can be susceptible and open to this. But I think once you've been open to one thing, I think the floodgates then open. It seems, it just seems to me that happens. Let me tell you a really interesting caveat to all of this story. And this is why I want to give you a conclusion to all of this, which is what might make sense to everything. I had never talked about any of this stuff before out loud. Because remember when I said my guy and the other girl were kind of into black magic and stuff like that, and that they may have been misappropriating black magic. And that might have been what stirred up Mauld of Holmes, but also because Mauld of Holmes might have been stirred up because the place was being demolished and blah, blah, blah. But one thing that I said before was, like, have you noticed how prayer and meditation and CE5 and black magic or magic spells all seem to be the same thing, where you are putting yourself out to the universe and going, once you put it out into the universe, it's like it comes back. The last time, and I've not had this feeling this time, funnily enough, before you ask, I've not had a feeling this time, but I'd never talked about any of this before. I went on Frank's podcast, and Frank, UFO thinker, good friend of you guys. The first time I ever talked about this stuff loud and put it out into the universe and put it off my chest into the ether, I had this gut feeling in my soul that talking about this would unleash something. I just knew it would, because the nature of this thing, and this is what I'm trying to say, the nature of the phenomenon is that it's an all-encompassing thing. It's like a karma. It's like it is what you throw out in the world and what comes back and stuff. But anyway, so the first time I talked about all this stuff on Frank's podcast, Tuesday night, I think it was the following Sunday, I went out of my house, and if we remember last week's episode when I was talking about the UFOs, the metal spheres that kept getting closer and closer and closer to my house. There it is, the metal sphere, hanging there. Wow. Literally, closer and closer and closer and closer than I have ever seen one of these things before, after I talked about it on the podcast. And it was basically, and here's my gut feeling, like, I looked at it and I was like, oh, hello, how are you doing? And it basically said back to me, just letting you know I'm there, see you later. And then it dipped out. And basically what it was saying was, you invoked me talking about on the podcast. It's a consciousness thing. I'm just letting you know I'm there. Now, caveat to that number two, I was stood in my bathroom about a week later. And in my house, I've got like the attic. I'm in the attic right now. I'm in the attic. Then I've got the bedroom. And then I've got the ground floor. I was in the bathroom less than a week later after seeing the UFO. And I'm stood there. I can't remember what I was doing in the bathroom. But anyway, I was in the bathroom. And there was this noise that basically there's a flight of stairs in the attic that goes in a U shape and down. Then it goes across the landing. and then down the main stairs. This thing ran. It was like, it sounded like something that was at least 4 foot high, but it ran down the stairs and I was stood there like, what? But I could hear the floor going boom, 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 because it's wooden steps. There was something physical running on the wooden floor, then across the landing, then down the stairs, you know, 8, 9, 10 seconds, whatever it takes this thing to run from the top of the house. But it sounded like somebody in bare feet running downstairs in a pair of flip-flops. It was like this, like, flap, 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 but with this wooden. It was a really weird sound. I cannot explain how crazy it was, but this thing, this entity, ran from the top of the house down and then down. So that's crazy. Okay, are we game over here? No, we're not game over. A week later, I was in work. And like I said, this is all on the back of me talking about this stuff in the universe. I have never seen anything in reality before because, like I said, every time something would occur in the bedroom, I've just basically closed my eyes, whether it's the cats, the dogs, or whatever, I just close my eyes because I'm like, no, I'm too scared, right? Because I just don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this entity in my bedroom because I'm too scared. I was at work the other week, like a couple of weeks later after this thing with Frank, and I turned around in the office and there was a ball of mist, like a ball of smoke swirling above a chair. And it was like, basically, if somebody was sat in that chair, right, if somebody was sat in that chair, that ball of mist and swirling ball of smoke would have been where that person's head would have been. So I'm looking at this thing and it's looking at me. And I'm thinking, okay, right, yeah, I have invoked the spirit. And I looked at it, I just went, no. And I just, because I've never seen anything like that before, because all my experiences, like I said, have been a bit more esoteric than that. They've not been that visual. Anyway, so after looking at it, I closed my eyes, I shut my head and went, no. And I opened my eyes and it was gone. So I was like, right. Now, I am the only person on the floor in a huge mill, right? So I went to the toilet. The toilet is literally 10 feet away. So I locked myself in the toilet and I'm sat there with noise cancelling headphones on and I kept hearing this dull thud. And I'm thinking, oh no. So after about the third or fourth dull thud, I pulled off my noise cancelling headphones. And yes, it was a knock. Boom. This knock on wood. So I'm like, oh, what's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? About 8, 10 seconds later, boom. It's somebody knocking on wood in the office where I have just ran away from because that swirling ball of mist was in the office. And it carried on for like 9 or 10 times. And then, I just couldn't go and face it. So I sat there in the toilet and I was on my own and I'm just hearing this knock, boom, every 8 or 10 seconds. Boom, every 8 or 10 seconds.
Wow.
So when it stopped after about 2 minutes, I thought, do you know, I better go and look at this, really, hadn't I? Because, you know, so I went back in the office and it didn't do anything again. But basically, there was 13 knocks, I think. I think there were 13 knocks altogether after the white ball of smoke. I've never seen a spectral apparition in my life. And I will tell you, that was a spectral apparition. I don't know what a spectral apparition is, but that was a spectral apparition. I have never seen anything like that in my life. And the 13 knocks that followed it were absolute proof that something was trying to communicate with me. And put that, you know, like I say, put it all together. It's a bizarre thing. The phenomenon is a bizarre thing. It's beautiful and wonderful and bizarre thing. I wish I wasn't scared. I've been listening to a lot of Whitley Strieber lately, and he says, like, look, don't be scared, face it head on. So now I am. I think I'm prepared to face it head on. But here's the thing, look, it's a guttural scare because you don't know what this thing is. You don't know. Mm. It's the unknown. It's extremely frightening. It's the unknown. But now I want to face it head on. I really want to face it on. And I'm trying to train myself to face it head on. But you never know how you're going to respond to, you know, random creatures appearing in your bedroom or balls of mist appearing at work or, you know.
I guess you're fully expecting that something could happen in light of you coming on talking to us over the next couple of weeks, maybe.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe it will happen, you know. I hope so, because I'm actually more prepared for it now. I've actually, like I said, you know, I've actually prepared myself for it. It's like, you know what, if something happens to me now, I'm going to, it's not a threat, because it's, you know, I've interacted with all these things and they've been very, very scary, but they've never once physically threatened me. Okay, you know, actually, you know, the things with the stomach and they're just scientists, aren't they? They're just in, you know, interdimensional scientists, whatever. You know, I'm not scared of doctors. You know, when I go to, you know, what's so scary about that? I mean, I'm pretty sure they know what they're doing. The technology, the far, if they can go through multi dimensions and extract my sperm from one dimension to another, I'm pretty sure that they know what they're doing. I'm pretty sure they're competent in this. Yeah, I hope they're pretty competent in the, you know, in the medical skills. So, and that's the thing. Like, I'm joking, but I'm not joking. You know, I was terrified at the time, but now I'm thinking, do you know what? Maybe it just is what it is. Yeah. Look, now I just want to know what it is, and it's like now it's like things went really cold in work the other day, and I was like, "Are you there? Are you there? I'm not scared of you anymore. I'm not scared of you anymore. Show yourself. Show yourself. I want to talk to you. Talk to me. Do you know what I mean?" I was like, "Right, come on. I want to face you." You know. So what I'm saying is like, yeah, you know, it might be terrifying if things like appear and, you know. But I think there's also a logical element to it where, you know, I think there's probably something very mundane about these things coming and collecting our sperm or analysing us from another dimension. And it's just, you know, to them, it's just, you know, it's just like us catching a fish in a lake.
Yeah, I think it's the old saying, like, if whoever they are, aliens or whatever, meant to cause us harm, we'd have been gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
They wouldn't just keep going back for hundreds of years to keep.
And I think they got rid of us. Yeah, and to us, I think we're just fish to them. You know, they just catch us in the lake and throw, take, you know, do whatever and throw us back. And that might be, you know, if you're upset about it, then that's just hubris. You just, you know. And this is the reason why, like, people like Neil deGrasse Tyson can't figure out how aliens can exist. Because, well, our rocket fuel can't take us from star to star because we can't move at life. Well, yeah, human beings can. Or maybe interdimensional alien, you know, come on, dude. You know, think outside the box. Think outside the box. You've got to think about. And here's the thing, right? This is what I'm trying to say, right? The reason why I wanted to talk about all that stuff is because here's the thing, right? Is it's made me think. It's not about like nuts and bolts. We don't have an explanation for it. Is my bottom line and is my conclusion? It's all interdimensional, right? And I think the interdimensional thing is the best way to look at it, because here's why. Because basically, interdimensional covers everything. Interdimensional means that it's God, Jesus, angels and devils, ghosts, leprechauns, life after death, aliens. It's all on the table, right? If you put it on interdimensional, then it just means anything can potentially exist. And that makes me feel really better about my experiences. I've told you about some very harrowing experiences, which messed me up for a few years. But now, once I heard about the interdimensional hypothesis, which I only learned about 6 months ago, it just made me go, all right, that makes sense. Brilliant. It made me feel better about everything. And I was like, all right, devil. And now all of a sudden, it's like I've gone from being completely, like, I don't believe in anything. I believe in all of it now. Of course, right, yeah, you know, away with the fairies. Of course, that was just like alien abduction years ago. You know what I mean? Like people saying away with the fairies and oh, the leprechauns and all that. And the little people, the fairy folk. That's like alien abductions now. It all ties in. It all makes sense. There's a lineage to this phenomenon that basically means that religion and folklore and all of this nonsense, it's all true, but there is a through line that all makes perfect sense. but it's all about other dimensions and life after death and stuff like that. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, for me, I'm like, you know what? I can go with this. And I tell you, the reason why I can go with it is because, man, you know, if there is life after death, this is where the spirit can go. And this is where we can go when it's all done. Then that gives me hope. And it's like, all right, well, I don't care. If alien, you know, if weird interdimensional beings want to mess with my head and, like, to, you know, want to play around with me, I don't care. Because the thing is if there is something where, like, you know, near-death experiences are very interesting to me, you know, I'm like, whoa, I'm all over near-death experiences and life after death now. Because it's all tuned into the same thing. And I'm like, well, come on. You know, everything's on the table. It gives me hope. You know, if somebody's had anxiety and depression through my life, you know, I'm like, you know, this gives me something to, you know, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? Is it break on through to the other side? I'm not scared of death is what I'm saying, you know. I mean, I'm not going to rush to death. I'm not a suicidal type of person. But what I'm saying is that all of a sudden now I'm really interested to see what's on the other side. I'm not afraid of it.
Yeah, and I think like when you talk about folklore and stuff and how sort of it's the same lineage but just different perspectives of it. I think as our technology, as humans increases, that will probably change again. And it's like maybe it's like aliens is sort of like in damage to the current thing. And then as we understand it more, as our technology increases, will it be something else? It's just how we develop and get closer to the answers that obviously you're searching for and everyone's searching for. So I hope that we do at some point get the answers.
But this is it. I mean, I think this is what I'm trying to say is like, once you've experienced this stuff and you've witnessed it firsthand, something changes in life and all of a sudden it's like it all becomes, you know, everything about life becomes mundane. You just can't look at daily life as like daily life is just very kind of like, what? Like, for me, it's like I'm looking out my house every day and I'm looking for the next UFO. I'm looking for the next interdimensional experience. It's like everything's boring. I want to see the next UFO. I want to go to the next level. Something changes. But when you realise, when you engage with the phenomenon on such a level and then you start realising what it is, and when the penny drops, it's like suddenly you're just not part of this earth anymore. And I don't want to sound like negative, but it's like everything, like getting up every day, it's just like, what? It's so mundane. It's like, you just need something.
Yeah, you just know there's so much more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. When you start seeing that, it's all connected in that way. The universe seems a very, very more interesting place.
There is more, and it's like, even if there is negative experiences, the bigger picture is hope and that there is more for us, which is a good message.
Well, exactly. I mean, one thing that I want to say is like, after the 2014, 2015 thing, for the 3 years after that, my mental health was destroyed. I was seeking help from every mental health practitioner everywhere. And I've literally lost my mind. I had literally lost my mind. But now I look back on it and I see it as a gift. And now it's like, I wish I could relive it. But the 3 or 4 years after that, I'm not lying. The 3 or 4 years after, I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't not only leave the house. I was mentally destroyed through these experiences because I didn't know how to comprehend it. But the thing is once I've learned how to comprehend it and understood what it was, now I would like it to happen again because now I would like to embrace it, knowing what it is. But I don't want to glamorize it in any way. The problem is these experiences do destroy people. And I couldn't understand why they destroy people because it destroyed me for 3 years.
You've had the profound experience and hopefully this is your journey now to understand it all. And like Ash said, there's that hope now that there is something bigger than us. There's something on for us in the next life, universe, whatever, the next incarnation or whatever it may be. So, yeah, I really appreciate you coming on and speaking to us over the last couple of sessions. Obviously, we'll have to speak again to catch up and see how things are going for
you. Yeah, thanks for the openness and candidness as well.
It's not an easy subject for anybody to talk about anyway. And on such a personal level, it's incredible that people like yourself do come forward so we can try and get a better understanding of things that are affecting people that aren't mainstream. It's not in the media. And it's not the kind of thing that you can speak openly to sort of the mainstream, as it were. So hopefully we can help give an outlet to your experiences now and going forward.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's wonderful to be, that's it, because something like this, I just think it's really important that people need, this is what happened to me, here's my thing, and I'm going to just tell you what happened. If you believe it, fine. If you don't believe it, fine. Whatever. Look, it is what it is. I'm telling you, this stuff happened, and I think it's important to put on the table right now, because this is what we are actually dealing with. The phenomenon isn't just about nuts and bolts craft. It's about all of it. And, it's nice to be given this opportunity, and I really appreciate this, guys, because, like I said, it's therapeutic for me just to get it off my chest and just say, look, you need to hear this story. It's incredible,
Pursuit of the Paranormal with Ash and Greg.